sometimes this has been a wonderful way for the Lord to teach us. And I want to make this statement, and that is every intersection you come to in the kingdom of God, every intersection you come to, you have to yield right away to the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if you see the significance in that, but the Lord teaches us in many ways. And how many times has the Lord brought me to an intersection where I've had to lay something down or pick something up? And I had to look both ways before I crossed the intersection. I had to yield to the Holy Spirit before I crossed the intersection. And sometimes He brings us to an intersection to put His finger on something in our life. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it can be anything at all. Amen. And maybe He wants to give you something. And He always wants to give us something, but sometimes He wants to take something from us. Maybe you've been sowing discord among the brethren. That's a bad one. And God wants to deliver you from it. And you know, that intersection is where God puts His finger on our lives. He puts His finger on the areas of our life where we're being, where we're losing our treasure, you might say. And the Lord puts His finger on something. And how many know that the human heart is exceedingly wicked? And it gets flooded with all kinds of improper thoughts. And what else happens to the human heart that's fallen? Amen. Jeremiah said it. The human heart is exceedingly wicked. Sometimes we even rebel against God. Good God-fearing Christians. And I know I found myself at different times when I'm stressed and I've come to the end of everything. And I say, Lord, I quit. You know, Lord always has an answer. That's good. It's about time. Now maybe I can get something done. You know? And so there's lots to learn. And through the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, if God's never taken you through an intersection where He asked something of you, but I want to tell you about a character that did, and you're going to find him in the book of Jonah in chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. And now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. This is what an intersection looks like if you're not, you've never been through one. And this is where we need to yield to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And I'm not saying that you have to yield to your husband, yield to your children, yield to your pastor, yield to Mr. Trudeau. Not saying any of those things, but we need to yield to the Holy Ghost. And so here was this wonderful prophet Jonah, and he was passing through one of those intersections I was telling you about. And it's one of those intersections where we have to yield the right away. We have to yield the right away to God. And Jonah was stepping out into a future that hadn't been created yet. You know why I can say that? Verse 3 tells me why I can say that. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare, and he went down into it to go with them to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. That's how I know he was creating his own future, because he was going his own way. Amen. He was creating a future that hadn't been created yet, because there was no such future. There was a group of people that asked a man by the name of D.L. Moody why he was so passionate about his ministry, why he was so passionate about the things of God. And he told them this, that in the annals of time, God has forged plans and a purpose for my life, for me to fulfill. And if I don't do it, it's a lie that God's going to send someone else along to do it. If I don't do it, it'll be left undone. And I want to do the will of God in my life. That was D.L. Moody's answer to that. Well, Jonah hadn't learned that God had a plan for him that he forged in the annals of eternity. And he wanted to work those plans out in his life. Hallelujah. And so you know what happened to Jonah in the intersection. chose to go his own way, and he ran for the hills. And his disobedience affected a lot of people. It affected every sailor on the ship. It affected everybody in Nineveh, the city where God was sending them to, because the message of God would never arrive there. And so we see that Jonah's disobedience affected a lot of people. He was going through this intersection and he was heading in the wrong way. And we know what happened to him next, right? He got swallowed by a big fish. And on the third day, he started singing that Carrie Underwood song. Jesus, take the wheel. Yeah. Jesus, take the wheel. I repent. And he finally got things right. We know the fish vomited him up and it got him to the place where he was supposed to go in the first place. Hallelujah. Now I got to ask you a question. Did God know how Jonah would react before he brought him to that intersection in his life? Of course he did. I'm with you, Carol. Of course he did. God knew exactly what he was doing. It was one of those intersections where you have to lay something down. It was one of those intersections where self gets burnt up, where a little bit of self dies. And it's what I want to call the exchange program. And God's going to put everyone who's serious about him into the exchange program. It's the place where we bear eternal fruit. It's the place where we lay down the earthly and we pick up the heavenly. And he had a great opportunity to do this. Yeah, and this is the arena where we bear eternal fruit, family. It's right here in this war zone that we live in. And so here was this intersection. Amen. And just going to learn the golden rule. Let the Holy Spirit write in your heart. Every intersection I pass through, I yield the right of way to the Holy Ghost. Amen. And what he's going to do is bear eternal fruit in your life. He's come to do an eternal work in us. Amen. And he's going to give us things that we can take with us when we go to heaven. And eternal fruit. Hallelujah. Riches that God gives us. And so when I ask the question, did God know about this ahead of time? Of course he did. This is all preparation to get Jonah ready for his mission. Amen. God knew what was in his heart. Did you know the Ninevites that he was going to preach to were Israel's arch enemy, and they were taking the land? No way Jonah was going to go preach to those low lives. I'm sure he would have said, they're bottom feeders. I'm not going down there to preach to them. And so he headed in the other direction. So I have to ask you that same question that I asked about Jonah. But I want to read a verse from Numbers 13:2 first. Send men to spy out the land of Cana, which I am giving to the children of Israel from each tribe of their father. You shall send a man, every one, a leader from among them. And so the time had come. They were getting ready to cross over into the promised land. Praise God. They were waiting a long time for this to happen. You know, the Lord's pathway for us isn't always a nice straight line. Sometimes it zigs, sometimes it zags, sometimes the bottom falls out into the valley, and sometimes there's mountains to cross. I just want to encourage you, we just got a few more valleys to cross, brother. Well, a few more miles to travel. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so it might be a zigzaggy way, but the children of Israel now had come. The time had come. I'm sure they thought it was never going to come, and where they would cross over into the promised land. Family, this was an intersection, another intersection. And what's the golden rule? When I cross an intersection, I yield to the Holy Ghost. When I cross an intersection, always yield to God, because he's there to bear eternal fruit in your life. And except there was a few obstacles in the way, and we can read in verse 33, there they saw giants, the descendants of Anak, and they came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight, and we know that they were greatly discouraged. there was a obstacle in their pathway. It was a external obstacle. But that external obstacle was going to reveal an internal problem. Hallelujah. In the children of Israel, the what was on the outside was going to reveal something that was on the inside. Hallelujah. And we know that they turned back. It's no secret. And the external problem was allowed by God. If we ask the same question again, did God know what was going to happen before he asked these spies to go down to the promised land? God is sovereign. Yeah, he knew. God is sovereign. And someone read to us in a Bible, maybe it was a prayer meeting a week or two ago, that God has settled things in heaven. And then he works them out in the earth. Amen. And so if things were settled in heaven beforehand, I think God knew about this before. He knew what their reaction would be. He knew that they weren't ready to cross over into the promised land yet. And so he gave them an opportunity. Hallelujah. And the external problem was really revealing an internal problem. They didn't trust God. They didn't trust God, and they weren't able to cross over. Amen. And we know they turned away from the will of God. Hallelujah. Maybe not hallelujah for them, but praise God anyway. And so was this the same lesson that Jonah had to learn? We all know they turned back. Then the next generation came along, and they would have to face the same obstacles. They would have to face the giants, but God added another obstacle. And besides the giants, there was the flooded banks of the Jordan River. Amen. But they didn't turn back because there was a couple of obstacles. They decided they're going to follow the Lord. And their priests went and dipped their feet in the water. And God gave them a grand entrance way into the promised land. They trusted God. And so intersections in our life come along individually and sometimes collectively, where we have to follow the Lord, yield to the Holy Ghost in the midst of every intersection. And we really need to pray and to cry out, come Holy Spirit, I need you. And so many religions, so many denominations, so many end time teachings. One teacher. There's a lot of people that aren't being taught by the Holy Ghost. And I'm not saying this so you can be shamed or because we have different opinions about things. There's a lot of opinions out there. But I'm saying this so we can all pray collectively. Come, Holy Spirit. I need you. Come, Holy Spirit. Lead me. Lord, I'm making you responsible for closing doors before me and opening doors before me. Lord, I need you to come and lead me and guide me in my life. And that's why I'm speaking the way I am today. And I think I've already spoke God's message. Hallelujah. He wants us to lean more on his Holy Spirit. Amen. And as we make him, as we're dependent on him, we'll find he's more dependent than we thought. And more dependable than we thought. And so, Lord, let's pray. Praise God. Lord, I pray you'd come and flood the atmosphere of our hearts. Hallelujah. You would come and fill every heart with the Holy Spirit. Everyone has to know you from the least to the greatest. Lord, come in such power and might that we absorb your life into us. We absorb your character into us. We begin to love the things you love and do the things you do. Hallelujah. We begin to be filled with heavenly things. And even though we're here on the earth, Lord, we need you to come. We need you to be our teacher. We need you to teach us by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And teach us truth. Reveal to us the hidden treasures that are in the Word of God. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, and we pray that you would be all in all to us, and that, Lord, you would take the initiative. And being a sovereign God, Lord, it's your job to initiate. It's your job to motivate and to set your plans and purposes into our lives and to give us a wake-up call, Lord. We want to be like Paul and Silas. If we turn to the right, we want you to shut the doors. If we turn to the left, we want you to shut the doors, unless and open only one door to us, your pathway. And so, Lord, we want to cast all these responsibilities on you. And we, in exchange, we want to be filled with the Holy Ghost to lead us and to guide us in the way we should go. We pray the cloud of your presence would rest on this church and on these people. I pray, Lord, that you would draw everyone into the secret place and fill them with heavenly life, divine life, Lord, and we would fulfill the scriptures. You would fulfill the scriptures in us, and we would become your moral and spiritual reproduction in the universe. Lord, we need you. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you to come and do a work in us. Fulfill the work you've started in each one of us. And we thank you for all you've done. But we pray, Holy Spirit, come. We need you. Amen.